بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما فقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, let me begin by requesting you to make two du'as. One is for Sheikh Asad Al-Huwairi, who passed away today a couple of hours ago. This is Sheikh Umar Yakteen's, what we call in Urdu, Samdi, meaning our brother Basam's wife's father. He passed away a couple of hours ago. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to grant him Jannatul Firdaus wa ala bighayri hisab and to give sabr to his family. And the second dua is for Tasmiya Chaudhary. This lady is in the ICU in Boston. With leukemia. She has two small children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to take away her suffering, to help her in ways which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in keeping with His majesty and grace, every time we make dua, this is something that we should remember. Do not, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, this is a hadith that is attributed to her. She said that when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that Allah has no boundaries. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you ask Allah, remember Allah can do anything. Allah has no boundaries. There is nothing that Allah cannot do. So when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not keep in mind your own constraints. So for example, if you are making dua for somebody for shifa for somebody, yes, the person is in ICU, yes, they have this, yes, they have that, so on, this is what medical science tells us. But when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not asking the head of the hospital, you are not asking another big doctor, you are asking the creator of the heavens and the earth and the universe. So you ask, if Allah wants to do it, Allah can do it, and you ask with this complete and total yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do it. Whether He does it or not is up to Him, alhamdulillah. In either case, we say alhamdulillah. But when we ask, do not ask with all of these doubts and shukuk in our hearts. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure her completely and totally and bring her back home safe and sound to her children and to her husband. My brothers and sisters, 1760 to 1840 is perhaps one of the most significant periods of human history. And I'm talking to you because this is the third or fourth actually in the series of khutbas concerning 2021 going forward. 1760 to 1840 is one of the most significant, or probably the most significant period of human history, because that is the period of the Industrial Revolution. And that's just 260 years ago. Not very long at all in terms of historical time. This is when assembly line manufacture changed the face of society and culture and economy and education and fashion and role of men and women and family structure and dynamics, even day and night. Ostensibly, the Industrial Revolution was about manufacturing. But what happened in the Industrial Revolution came out of the factories and entered your homes and hearts, and entered our homes and hearts, and entered the way we think, and entered our attitudes, and changed our attitudes. And this is something which completely changed the way we educated people. Believe it or not, there were no schools And when I say schools, I mean schools and madrasas together, because there is no difference between our secular schools and our religious schools, except in the books we teach. The system, the philosophy is exactly the same. There's no difference. There were no schools the way we know them prior to 1760. Sure, there are schools in the world which are older than 200 years, many of them in Britain, for example, but they were not organized the way standardized schooling is organized today, and they were not built and run on the same philosophy. The reason I mention this is not to give you a history lesson, but to point out to one very important fact, and that is that the root cause of our problems is this schooling system, because it was done for reasons which are no longer valid. The problem with our schooling system is not that it has failed, but that it is extremely successful in creating a kind of person for a world which no longer exists. In the words of Richard Feynman, he said, you cannot get educated by this self-propagating system in which people study to pass exams and teach others to pass exams, but nobody knows anything. You learn by doing it yourself, by asking questions, by thinking, by experimenting. This system is toxic. It is harmful, and it ensures failure in our world today, and it must be changed urgently. Someday when we have time, I will talk to you in more detail about the Industrial Revolution and all the changes that happened. There was something worth studying. But today, our schools globally, illa mashallah, exceptions accepted, are run on a model which combines assembly line manufacturing factories and jails and prisons. Let me talk to the students here. What happens in the school? The gate shuts after you, the student, enter, and you cannot leave until it opens again. Class times are indicated by buzzers and bells, because apparently neither you nor your teacher are responsible enough to keep to the time. So a bell has to go off. While in class, you cannot do anything. You can do nothing without first asking permission, no matter how personal that thing might be. Your day is scheduled not according to your needs or desires, but for the convenience of the administration. You cannot study or eat or play or read or simply gaze into space doing nothing, except during specific designated times foisted on you without consulting you. And the last one, gazing into space, you can't do at all. The reality is that those who the schools are meant for, that is students, have no say about what happens there to them or how. All decisions, without exception, are taken by parents or teachers or school administration for their convenience. The way our schools are geared today, we assess and reward or punish the wrong people, that is students. Students actually are our customers. They must be benefited, and it's our job as teachers to benefit them. We must be assessed. And if we are able to equip our students to succeed, we must be rewarded. And if not, we must be trained to be able to do so. For this, we must teach differently, teach different things, and test differently. Today, we teach by giving answers. We teach discrete subjects as if they have no relation to one another, even though in reality they do. We try to stuff the brains of students with unrelated facts, and we grade them on their ability at random recall within a specific time frame called the exam. We test memory, nothing else. We do not test understanding, much less application of knowledge or value addition by somebody who by default comes with a fresh perspective. The greatest asset of the student we trash from day one. We discourage questioning. In our religious schools, it is sacrilege to question the teacher. We treat disagreement as treason and rebellion, and we punish imagination and lateral thinking. Dumb obedience is our principal virtue. Today, the reality is that students only need to be literate and numerate and have a desire to learn. They can learn anything at all on their own, with remote guidance if necessary, and that too for the most part free of cost. On Khan Academy or Udemy or a number of sites like that, you can learn anything at all. MIT has put all their classes and data on open source. You can actually live attend an MIT class in physics for nothing, sitting in your home. All you need is an internet connection. Everything is free. The message is clear, that technology has made the teacher who simply tells the student what's in a textbook redundant. Such teachers are not required anymore. What remains necessary, however, is practical application, experiencing knowledge in action, problem solving, human relations, conflict resolution, collaboration, to move mountains. None of this is possible to automate and needs human interaction. Those who can teach in this way need not fear AI or job loss. They will always be in demand. Schools must therefore be geared differently, not only in how they teach, but curricula must be redesigned to leverage the relationship of one subject to another so that learning becomes meaningful and interesting instead of the burden it currently is. The purpose of all teaching is threefold. Every school must achieve these three goals. The number one is to create what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Al-Ulil Al-Bab, people of understanding, people of character. The beauty of this deen of ours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us what to teach and how to teach. But we have satisfied ourselves by memorizing that ayah, by reciting it in a nice way, in the correct way, and that's it. The ayah did not come to be memorized and simply to be recited correctly. It came for us to implement it in our lives. We didn't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised understanding, and He called it the peak of intelligence. And that's not merely an IQ or EQ score. It is the application of IQ and EQ to live in a world as responsible, contributing citizens working to create a positive influence on society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the purpose of education, and He described how it is to be done. Where He said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون Allah did not say أو يتفكرون ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and the day, there are indeed signs for people of intelligence, of understanding, Al-Ulil Al-Bab. And then Allah described who they are. He said, they are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down on their sides. And this is the key. And they think deeply in the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, our Rabb, you have not created all of this in vain. You have not created all of this without purpose. All glory be to you. Give us salvation from the fire. Grammatically speaking, as a sentence, if somebody were to say, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ أَوْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ سَمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ There is no mistake. This sentence is grammatically correct. But that is not the ayat of the Quran. Allah did not say aw, Allah did not say or, Allah did not separate the two, Allah did not separate those who know Allah
those who worship Allah, those who have irfan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ma'iyat of Allah, from the scientists and the technologists of the world. Allah did not say successful people of understanding are those who do this or that. This is what we have done to education today. We separated theology from science. We have scientists who think that theologians and ulama are fools. We have ulama who think that scientists are murtad, they are outside of Islam. This is our doing. This is what we have done. And that is why we have landed where we have landed. Go back in our own history, historically speaking, a few years, and you see the opposite of that. You see the Masjid al-Qurtuba, the Grand Mosque of Qurtuba, in which scientists learned science. I mentioned to you Abdurrahman al-Dakhil. That is his time. I'm not saying this as a complaint. I'm saying this is the goal. This is the target. To teach Islam the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to teach Islam. To show the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creation, which you cannot do without science. You cannot do without science. Remove science from it. You can read the Quran till you die. You will never see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the universe. We have to combine. We have to integrate. There is no choice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to open our eyes and to open our hearts to creating a way of education which is truly beneficial. أقول قبل هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, I made a statement which is a very strong statement, which is that you cannot see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without science. So let me give you the proof of that statement. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran all the ayat related to embryology, which today we like to quote all of these as evidence of the truthfulness of the Quran, we must understand that we don't need that evidence. We believe in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you take these ayat at the time they were revealed, for the sahaba who received these ayat, this was iman bil ghaib. They believed it because Allah said so. That was it, period. Alhamdulillah, this is good. There is nothing wrong with that. There will always be things in the Quran which we have to believe because Allah said so. And this is, alhamdulillah, belief with knowledge that who Allah is. It's not blind belief. But when the microscope was invented, that was the time when you could show people those signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation. And this will remain. And this will remain because all science also comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have schooled ourselves incorrectly, where if you ask somebody, list for me the ulum ud-deen, I can bet probably that nobody will list physics and chemistry and mathematics as ulum ud-deen. But they are ulum ud-deen. Whether you like it or not, they are ulum ud-deen. Because all knowledge comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. So if we are going to take part of the ulum of the deen and teach only those as ulum ud-deen, and we are going to teach the rest of the ulum ud-deen with suspicion and discard them and various degrees of hostility towards them, then we are looking at continuing our period of ignorance for some more centuries. All knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min Allahi ta'ala. And the way to teach it is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentioned, and I gave you the reference of the ayah. What remains is for us to follow that and to do that. In this khutbah, I have mentioned, as I said, three things. One is to create ulil albab, which is people of understanding. The detailed methodology of that is in the text of this khutbah, which will come to you. I am trying to keep within the short time that we have for the Jummah here. And those of you who listened to the, or didn't, I don't know whether you had time, but the internet, the khutbah that goes on the internet, it's all there in detail, so you can go and look at that as well. The second thing, first, ulul albab. Second thing is citizenship. And citizenship is learnt by practice. And the school model that I have for you and I have in mind, I've explained to you how that can be done. And the third requirement is entrepreneurship. And this entrepreneurship comes from teaching that in the schools by doing five things. Vocational training, practicing entrepreneurship in the school itself, a venture capital rolling fund, a shop in the school, and a final initiative, which is a bank, which is run by the students in the school on Islamic principles. The reason I'm saying all of this with so much of emphasis is because, in my view, this is the route and this is the road to changing our destiny going forward. Today, one of the biggest problems that we have, which is a cancer in society, is disparity of income and disparity of distribution of income. Just to give you a quick one on that, the figures as on 2021, the median household income in America for a white family is $188,000 per year. For a Hispanic family, it is $36,000 per year. For a black family, it is $24,000 per year. This is a sign of sickness. And if I was to tell you that this is only in America, I would be lying, because this is the reality. The numbers differ, but this is the reality across the world. Poverty is our problem. It's not the problem of the person who is poor. It's the problem of every person in society. And it is the job of the Muslims to address it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us and defined us and said, Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people and you have been extracted for the benefit of people. That is our role. That is our goal, to benefit the people. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to be the pioneers in this, to be those who start systems of goodness to demonstrate Islam in practice. My brothers and sisters, believe me, the world is sick and tired of people talking about Islam. They don't want to listen to these speeches. They're worthless. Islam means this, Islam means that. Who cares? People want to see what Islam is in practice. So the world is saying to us, put up or shut up. Show it or shut up. You're not interested. And we are also not interested in you telling us stories of what happened 1400 years ago and what happened 700 years ago and what happens in Andalus. And forget all that. I want to see what is happening here in West Springfield. I want to see what is happening here in India. I want to see what is happening here in the UK and so on and so forth. They want to see Islam in practice, in wholesome societies, in wholesome institutions, in wholesome homes, which people can see and they can experience, and that is what opens their doors to Islam. That is the most powerful dawah, the dawah of experience, not the dawah of talking. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will be able to demonstrate Islam in our own lives and in the lives of all those who come into contact with us. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us beacons of guidance for everyone who comes into contact with us. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you those who He will guide and who He will protect and who He will use to spread the beautiful message of the Sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam across the world, and make that a means of sadaqatul jariyah for you when you are gone. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ya ibadallah, rahimakumullah. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.